the people of old. I read to you just now that the people of old ate and drank when they saw God, to remind them of their covenant in their relationship with God. And so we also did the same when we took of the bread and the cup in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ as our covenant with him. And so this morning, we shall continue with our study on the Christian priesthood. I'm not able to complete this series with you today because last week, after I had given my testimony and a challenge to the teenagers of the assembly to serve the Lord, I have received feedback that some people have been inspired and some people have been encouraged. And I should continue with my testimony. And I think with that feedback, I will do so today to inspire not only those in the teens, but more in keeping with the congregation I have before me, those who are above the 20s. Now, we shall talk about that as we go on. In our study on the Christian priesthood, we touch on the character of the Christian priesthood in Hebrews 10, 19 to 20, where we read, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh." Please note the words, "brethren," is for all of us, everyone, everyone who names the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please note the word "consecrated," for today we shall be studying consecration. First, we have the consecration of Christ for us. In turn, we need to consecrate ourselves to him. Then we had the character of our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, in Hebrews 10, 21, where he has gone into the Holy of Holies. And because of that, we who follow can follow suit because he is there and we have the privilege to know that he is there for us. But even as we go in to the Holy of Holies, let us remember that there are certain conditions that we need to keep. Now, these conditions are not for us to be priests, but we are holy priests. We are royal priests. We have been made priests. But now, having been made priests, the conditions are behave as priests. Know what you need to do as priests. And so we read, "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, fulfilling the condition, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." That's what we need to do when we come into his presence to serve in the temple, so to speak. We need clean bodies and clean minds and spirits. And then finally, the commitment of priests. What we actually need to do. And we read that in Hebrews 10, 23 to 25, where we read, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as this day, as we see the day approaching." Now, today we cannot finish this. We have already touched on the first part. Let us hold fast the profession. Profession of what we are. Be ye holy. So this is what we are. And we need to hold fast that profession by all means. And I gave you my testimony of the Lord working my life to make me true to this profession. And this is my time to challenge you that you too may live up to the profession of being holy priests unto the Lord. So today I shall continue with that. And that means I will not have time to complete the rest of the verse. That one I shall leave for the next time I'll see you, Lord willing, in September, 6 months more. Right. With that, let us go on. I based my consecration of myself to do the work of the Lord on Romans 2, 1 and 2. We read that we are holy priests. And as holy priests, we are to offer spiritual sacrifices. And what are these spiritual sacrifices? Well, Romans 12, 1 and 2 make it very clear to us. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, this is parallel to what you read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Have boldness, therefore, brethren. So this is in keeping with the parallel exhortation that will exhort us, brethren, to do what? To offer our spiritual sacrifices. And here, what is a possibility of that sacrifice? What is that possible sacrifice? Present yourself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. That is the offering of the holy priest. Present, as I pointed out last week, is a priestly word. It is the presentation of a spiritual offering unto the Lord. It is not just giving gifts on a birthday, but it is a word that is used for priestly service. Present your bodies as a holy priest unto the Lord. And not in the way you think it should be, but it must be acceptable, it must be approved by God, in the way God wants it to be, to present that body. Which is your reasonable service? Based on what he has done for you, now, present your body. And in what practical ways is it that we are required to present our bodies? Be not conformed to this world. That's a negative sign. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is the positive sign. There is the positive aspect, and there's a negative aspect. Do not be conformed to this world. We cannot live the Christian life negatively. Do not do this, do not do that, abstain from this, abstain from that. We need to be positive, transform, live a new life in keeping with the priestly ministry that we are called unto. By renewing your mind and above everything else, controlling your mind to the mind of God, prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. If we are prepared to consecrate ourselves to God, then God will reveal his will to us. Then we can prove for ourselves, although while we are going through the process of doing his will, our experiences may be a bit down. We may suffer. We may go through difficulties and problems. But if it is the will of God, you will, at the end of it all, find that it is acceptable and perfect and good. So this is our theme for this morning. That even as I testify to you, I want to show you that doing the will of God is all that we need to do and must do. That God's will is indeed acceptable, perfect, and good for us. So this is our theme from now onwards. Now I will continue with my testimony. I challenge you of what the Lord had taken me to be and to do for him when I was a teenager, from 16 years to 20 years. Today, I will take you further into how the Lord's will was done. First and foremost, when we talk about offering ourselves a spiritual sacrifice unto God, we have got to concentrate on the will of God. That is most important. Now, in 1 Timothy 4, 12, 13, we read, let no one despise your youth. Paul wrote to Timothy, be thou an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading the word of God, exhortation from the word of God, know and doctrine, in the Word of God. So everything is focused on the Word of God. Whatever you do, whatever how you live your life, all must be focused on the Word of God and not upon your emotions. And because of that, we need, therefore, to look at this. Our hearts are concerned. Our heart must be ready to be surrendered to God, to live for God. Most important, the heart, because in association with the heart is love. Where there is no love, then there is no heart. If there is a heart for God, there will be love for God. And when there's a love for God, there will be a will to do God's will. And we are prepared to do God's will. We cannot do God's will if we are not prepared to surrender our life to God. It's only when we love the Lord so much, we are prepared to surrender our lives so that He can make use of us. So, firstly, is we must be willing to surrender, to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We must. This I'm talking really and practically, and this is an appeal to all. And by the way, I forgot to mention when I said that Paul wrote to Timothy, without example in thy youth. When he wrote that, he was not writing to Timothy as a young teenager. Other commentators had guessed that at that time, the youth mentioned with regard to Timothy was that he was about 40 years old already. 40. So what I'm going to say now is an appeal and exhortation to all those who are from teenager to 40, the young adults in this assembly. I'm going to challenge you because what God has done for me as a young adult, I believe God can do for you as a young adult if you are prepared to love the Lord, surrender your life to the Lord, and do His will. So the person is important. You need to be prepared to surrender your life. Take my life and let it be, Lord, consecrated to Thee. Then, when you present your life and you are ready to do his work, you must seek His will. Lord, what will you have me to do? Now, I wonder how many of us ever prayed that you are what you are today because of what God had chosen you to be. Can you answer that question truthfully? That you can pinpoint a day and a time when God spoke to you and God said, I want you to be this, and you are what you are because of what spoke to you on that day. Seek the will of God. How to seek the will of God? The Word. You must read God's Word. Please do not tell me. Please. I don't go in for that. You know, that's like I had a dream and it's God's will that I do this. Oh, God spoke to me. And then this is what wanted me. And the worst thing to do is when you tell your girlfriend, look, last night the Lord spoke to me that you should be my girlfriend and be my wife. It's the worst thing to ever say to a person. Just because you fashion after that woman, or that woman fashion after you as a man, and you say, oh, it's God's will for you to be my wife or to be my husband. Please don't. That's not how God reveals His will to you. Read His word. Start by reading His word. I'll go on from here afterwards. That's later on when I come to my testimony. Knowing the will of God from His word, there are two aspects. First, you must be prepared to do His written will. There are certain things written in His word that you must do and you must fulfill, and it is written in black and white. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. This is the will of God, that thou be sanctified. You must be prepared to live. If you are not prepared to live a sanctified life, how are you going to know God's will? In everything, give thanks, for it is the will of God unto the Lord, unto the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. These are written specifically as the will of God. And if you are not prepared to do the written will of God, then forget about the personal will of God. And that is the second aspect, the personal will of God. And that will is different with every individual sitting here. God has a will for you to fulfill in your life, which is different from the one sitting next to you. It's different. That's a personal will. When you are prepared to fulfill and to live out the written will of God in His Word, then He is ready to speak to you from His personal will of what He wants you to be. And that will be my testimony this morning. Once you know the will of God, then go out, fulfill it. You need to do the work. He has a work for you. Fulfill it. Cause what it may. It may be a sacrifice, but this is what surrender means. Surrender your life to God. And then do consult people who are older, wiser, more mature. Seek their advice. Seek their counsel. Talk to them. Today, I know of one elder in Balmoral Hall who, when he was young, came to see me whether he should leave Penang for a better job or stay back to do the Lord's work. I told him stay back because he was gifted for that ministry in the assembly. He stayed back and the Lord blessed him so much with his external work, promoted him so many ways. Today, he's one of the elders at Balmoral Hospital. He stayed back, but the Lord blessed him. And some people. All right, I talked to you about the Lord's choice of me to be a Christian, my conversion on September 17, 1950, and my baptism 1 month later in October. Now let me discuss with you my consecration. I believe that every one of us here, we only should have a date to know when you surrender your life to the Lord and ask Him for salvation. But you need also to decide on a date when you consecrate your life to Him. Prove the will of God. Can I know the will of God? Yes and no. Yes and no. Can I know the will of God for me now? No. No. Many of you have been seeking God's will and pray God's will. And certain things, certain doors are shut, certain doors are open. You do not know. You don't know God's will. Maybe at that time, yes, for certain issues, certain circumstances, but generally it may not be so. You can only know the will of God definitely when you look at it. Ah, that's what happened. That's how it happened, and that's why it happened. It's God's will that you may prove what is the acceptable and perfect will of God. You may prove. So that's what you and I knew. I was never sure of God's will for my life until today I look back and I see the wonderful pattern how God fashioned my life to be after Him. So, prove the will of God. Let me start. Now, I will say, when I was in 1950, when I was in Senate 6, Nanfree School, I was not a clever boy. I lost my mother when I was 7 years old. Up to today, I cannot recall a physical resemblance of my mother, except for the photograph on her tombstone. And I was never related to her, and I never knew her love, I never knew her picking me up. I never knew. My father was a backslidden Christian, and I was brought up by a Taoist and parents. Therefore, I was allowed to roam about in my around my house in the back lanes without wearing a shirt, only shorts running around like a ruffian. It was a cult. Cult because I went to Nanfree School. Good enough at least to go to Nanfree School. And I was entered into a C class. 6C, standard 6C. That would be from 2C now. Now, C is credible glass, because there will be glasses which were according to merit. And there was a class up to 6K, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, F, K, I would say C, printable, printable. Then, the next year, as well, I was fooling around, playing around, my performance dropped. So that from a goat, I became a donkey. From a C class, I went down to a D class, donkey. And remember, I was still a young teenager, but I was missing with the young people's group, running here and there, not paying attention to my studies. My father threatened me. You don't improve in your studies, you're from going to church. That was the time when I consecrated my life to the Lord. At the end of my form, I sent that 8, form 4, when I was doing a MIRS Bible course. And I was doing this, as I pointed out to you last week. I was doing Romans 12. And I was writing a thesis on Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I consecrated my life to the Lord that night when I stood up. And when I, getting out the answer, I said, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated to me. And so that changed my whole life. And I told my father, please don't. I promise you I will improve next year. Because I've consecrated my life. I was going to be true to my studies, serious in my studies, and to show, to bring glory to the Lord. So next year, I did so well, I was promoted to an S, from a donkey to become an S, A class. I was in merit, you know, A class. A class was no good for me, because A class, I had to do double credit science and double credit mathematics. And I did not take these two subjects in the lower secondary. So I went to see the principal. Please let me go down. From an S, I became a bull. Yeah. Go down to a B class. B class, I could take health science. And I did not have to take those double credit subjects. Health science, it's a good decision. He allowed me to become a bull because I was born a bull. According to the Chinese animals and so on, I was a bull. So I became a bull. And it was a wise decision because the next year was senior Cambridge or Form 5 examination. I got distinction for my health science. If I did not, and only one on A only. You see how stupid I was? People today get an A. I got only one A. So there I was. Lord, take me as I am, even though I'm an S or donkey. The Lord took me. And it was at the end, from 4, going to from 5, then time for me to leave school, to choose the profession. Lord, I surrender my life to you. Let me be what you want me to be. Shut the doors that you don't want me to go through. Open the doors for me to go through. And I sought the Lord's will for what I should be the next year when I left school. And I read the word of God again and again and again and again. The word teacher came into my reading. So Lord, I said, if you want to be a teacher, then open up the door for me. Let me not do anything. Open up the door. And at the end of the year, you won't believe me. The principal, send a letter to all the classes in the Form 5. Those who want to be teachers, send in your name. Simple. I sent in my name, I got interviewed, I became a teacher. Never even wrote a letter or application. That's how I became a teacher. Okay. So, waiting on the Lord will open certain doors and shut certain doors. But you must be willing to do, to be what he wants you to be. Now comes the training. I was a teacher trainee from 1954 to 56. During this 3 years training, I was in a normal class, 3 year training, not in the teacher's college. Not clever enough to be in the college. Just a normal class, a normal teacher. 3 years. In those 3 years, did I do my Christian life? I was just in my 17, 18, 19 years old. What did I do? That's right. 55 to 56. In the training, using my knowledge as a trainee teacher, I followed the evangelical team in Bamako Gospel Hall to various places. Every week, every month, they would have open air. I would follow. And one day, we had an open air service at Kisman Road. And at open air service, a lot of people came, children. So Mr. Adams, Mr. Tan Wah Kim, and myself, three of us, came together. Why not we start a Sunday school here? Why not we start Sunday school here? And Mr. Wah Kim said, yes, there's a Christian in our church who has a home here at 24 Taylor Road. So we went to see him. Are you prepared to open your home to be a Sunday school? Yes, use my garage. Use my garage. And so he opened up the garage. And for one whole year, the children came. For 20 of them only. It was the result of laziness. Why do I say laziness? We took turns in being Sunday school teachers in the Sunday school. We started walking one Sunday. Mr. Phillips, another elder, one Sunday. Mr. Adams, one Sunday. And myself, one Sunday, four Sundays. And I would take the fifth Sunday. No continuation, no consistency. I could not stand that as I waited upon the Lord. So I discussed with the others, offered, I'm prepared to take and to open children's campaign at Chisman Road, Padang, one whole week at the age of 18, 19, as a teacher trainee. I spoke to in public all the children. About 100 came at night. We had a lantern slide show. And they came. From that time onwards, the number went from 20 to 70 on the average. Today, we have the Island Grace Gospel Center. Small beginning. Small beginning. Insignificant. But today, we have the Island Grace Gospel Center. That's why, from the open air to the garage. Then, 1956, finished my teacher training. 57, ready to be transferred out to be posted as a teacher. So there I was proud. 1957, finished my training, ready to go to be a professional teacher. Posted, teach English in a Malay school. But what did that mean? It meant that I was to teach on a Sunday. Malay school would be on Sunday, Friday holiday. Oh, that could not be. Why? Because I was in the 51 Service Road Bible School. And we were trained and honing. Sunday is a holy day. You must never work. It must always be surrendered to the Lord, consecrated to the Lord. No study. I never studied on a Sunday. My time when I was in school, after consecrating my life to the Lord, never studied when I was a teacher trainee doing my professional examinations, and never studied on a Sunday, even my additional professional qualification, specialist education. Never. Never studied on a Sunday. While all other teachers would take leave, I would continue to teach in Sunday school. But went to see the organizer of schools. Please, sir, you are a Christian. He was a Methodist. You are a Christian. I'm a Christian. How can you send me to work on a Sunday? Please, send me back to a school that is and has a holiday on a Sunday. And he did. He did. 1 week only, I was in the Malay class. The next day, I was sent back to Garcia Primary School to be a teacher, teaching on a Friday. Then after that, to Hutching School. Throughout my training, no more teaching on a Friday. I was happy. Lord, thank you very much for answering my prayer Now, look, I can still serve you on a Sunday. After my training in 57, 54, 56, 56, 57, passed, qualified. My first posting as a teacher. First posting, I went through, you know where? I was posted out after my three-year training to Butterworth. Butterworth, which school? Bayan Lepas, Bayan Agjam Malay School. Bagan Jermal Malay School. Two Malay schools to teach English on a Sunday. Don't try to run away and make all excuses. The Lord has his purposes. The Lord send you back to square one. If you have not learned your lesson from square one, you want to go to square two or square three, no, back to square one. Start all over again. One, but now with a difference. In 51 service from Bible class, I already was involved in the Sunday school teaching in Butterworth. And after the Bible class at 12 o'clock, 2 p.m., I would take the ferry and then go over to Butterworth, walk all the way from the Butterworth Pier to the Sunday school about 1 mile away, carrying a heavy accordion and then going to teach. And every Sunday, I was doing that. But now, I would go to school on a Sunday, stay back in a Christian home that was open for me, hospitable and open for me. And then at 3 o'clock, I would go to Sunday school to teach. Perfect timing. Perfect timing. There I was. The Lord wanted me to stay, to teach in the Butterworth Sunday school. And he so ordained that I would go into my profession to teach on a Sunday so that I could stay back to teach in the Sunday school. So that's what happened when you do the will of God. To suffer for 2 years, traveling up and down from Penang to Butterworth by the old ferry. All right. Then after 2 years, I qualify as a professional. Already, for 2 years, I said, Lord, I suffered enough already. Traveling up and down, up and down, up and down like that. Please transfer me back. So I went to see the CEO and asked him for a transfer back to Penang. So I went to see him. Transfer back to Penang. Okay. You go back to Bayan Lepas English School. Bayan Lepas English School. So far away, 10 miles away. That time there was no. You know, you travel to Sungai Ara, nothing. Just short distance. Yeah, at that time to travel to Bayan Lepas, through all the on both sides, paddy fields, coconut trees, rambutan trees, it's a rural area like going to Timbuktu. So let me think. Can you give me 1 more week? I go home and think over. So I told the CEO that I will give the answer a week later. And that 1 whole week I spent my time. Lord, please speak to me. Tell me what to do. You are sending me back to Bayan Lepas in this school. I don't want to go there. Pray every day. No answer. Then the day came. I must go to see the CEO and tell him whether I should accept his offer or not. So I went to his office sheepishly, don't know what to say. I said, sir, you remember last week you told me to think about the transfer to Bayan Lepas, and I said, hold on. Yeah, that one. Okay, no point. Go, straight. Go. No more discussion. Go straight. And back I was in Bayan Lepas English School, nearly 10 years, traveling up and down, up and down, up and down. But while doing that, the Lord enabled me, after the morning school, afternoon, go to Butterworth. Continue with my ministry in Butterworth. I taught there as a Sunday school teacher. I taught the Bible classes there. And then I developed that Sunday school and Bible class into an assembly so that the assembly in Chinese, the assembly in the English assembly grew up from there And the Chinese and also join in. We had two sessions together, Chinese and English, and today we have Butterworth Gospel Hall, 1959. All because the Lord worked and I'm ready to do his work. So, next stage in my development. From Manapas, I was involved in an in-service course, teaching teachers how to do audiovisual aids, teach with audiovisual aids. That was my special line. I wanted to specialize further, and so I went for specialist teacher training, 1967. I applied to go to SDTI in Kuala Lumpur. Now, I made my research because I was always afraid that those who would go to federal institutions, after qualifying, they would be sent out of state, out of their home state to another state. So I studied. All those who graduated from SDTI, Specialist Teachers Training Institute, all the qualified teachers who went there, all were sent back to their home state. All the basic normal class teachers would be sent out of state. Very good. I got safe. So 67, I applied, I got it. I applied because one the organizer of the in-service course was impressed with what I did. He offered to send me there. So I went. At the end of the course, when I qualified, Hare Johari, the education office minister, made a decision. From now onwards, all those qualified teachers graduating from SDTI should be sent outside the state. And they were sent to Pahang. And that was the time when I just got married. I just got a child, my daughter 3 months old. Sent. And for one whole year, I was in Mentakam. Now, look again how God's will is done. When I went to report to the Kuantan Education Office, I'm sent here. Where are you going to post me? Oh, mistake. You were supposed to be posted to Rao, but now you're in Mentakam. So I said, I was just, because I'll tell you what happened in Mentakam. So when I was posted to Mentakam, Pahang, I was very sad, traveling that 40 miles of winding road along Bentong. When I reached there, I heard that there was a gospel hall in Temelo. Assembly in Temelo. So Temelo Gospel Chapel. So it was only 6 months away from Mentakam. So I was happy. So when I went to the CEO, they said, oh, there's a mistake. You should not be in Mentakam. You should be in Rau. Rau? So far away? No. Please, make your mistake. Really. Forget about your mistake. Okay. You stay in Mentakam. And from there, the next week, I went to Mentamalo to see the people there. The moment I arrived there, the young people who welcomed me, praise the Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you for answer prayers. Here I was crying in my heart. And there they were, happy and rejoicing. Why? Because they heard that a Bible teacher had come to Mentakam to teach them how to be an assembly. They were an interdenominational group with Lutherans, Methodists, Anglicans, Roman Catholics, all there. And they had wanted to join the assembly, but no one wanted to help. The IC said, too far away. And myself, too far away? Oh, very near only. So I was sent over there. And for one solid year, I just taught them the Bible doctrines and what we are. Why we are what we are as an assembly. The Lord sent me there because I was crying, but they were rejoicing and the Lord was approving. This is how it works when you are prepared to do Lord's will. And I was told that all those people who were sent there would be last 7 years out of state. Everyone sent out of state would have 7 years in the East Coast. Separated from wife, family, 7 years. Lord, please. So at the end of the year, I asked for transfer back. No. The CEO wanted this from me. He said, sorry, I'm not going to give it. Then come to the first term, I asked the Lord again, Lord, please. You know, at that time, where do we have email? Where do we have telephone? Long time to it's costly, very costly telephone. Very, very difficult to communicate with one another. It will take a few days before I could even talk with my wife for just a few minutes. It was very difficult. It was a very hard time for me. I was all alone by myself, staying in the quarters. So I asked the Lord, Lord, please, take me home. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord transferred the CEO out. The Lord sent a new one from Penang. And the Penang CEO was my old farm master. And he became CEO. I told him, please, sir, let me go home now. Of course, I know what it is. Go home. May the 1st, he transferred me home. May the 19th, 1969, you know what happened. The riots took place. God's timing is so perfect. What would happen if I was there, separated from family? May 13th. What would happen? But the Lord had his own plans. The Lord had his own ways. The Lord has perfect timing. So while you are doing the will of God, you may be suffering. But when you look back, you know that he's approved it all. And this is what happened. Okay? So, from Pahang, I came back to Penang Free School. That's what I call the flight to freedom. Penang Free School. I was there for 12 years. At the end of the 12th year, I was hoping that I would go on to the 15th year. Because on 15th year, if you are a teacher in that school for 15 years, then your name can be engraved on the board there. Long time service. I say, very nice. And my name can appear there. Now you go to Penang Free School, you cannot see my name there. Because 12th year, there was a teacher. I did not like her very much. Senior form 6 teacher. Very proud. Because she was very well qualified. And I had, by the way, to go to free school, I went there without any qualification. No degree, no diploma, nothing. And I was trained to be a primary school teacher, not a secondary school teacher. But the Lord sent me there. And because the Lord sent me there, I had to accept the challenge. I accepted the challenge. I became one of the good teachers there. So good that that teacher in form 6, He was approached to start a new school in Green Lane. And the organizer of schools went to see her for her to start that new school. And she said to him, I do not want you to be a headmistress there. No, you have to, because you are the most qualified. In that case, you give Mr. Ang to me, my assistant, otherwise I... And the organizer of school was my colleague. He came to see me. Hey, better go to you. We are transferring you to that school. I hate administration work. I wanted to teach. Send me to administration. No, I won't go. And the lady teacher said, he won't go, I won't go. And the organizer of the school said, yeah, look, you don't go, she won't go. And we can't do anything. Please. So after much persuasion, I agreed. And why would he choose me? I hardly had any contact with her. But that's what it is. I was transferred to that school for a purpose. First year, I was a senior assistant. She was the principal. I was not happy. I wanted to go to a teacher's college. I took the form out to apply for a teacher's college. And there it was. Be prepared to transfer out of state after you qualify. Well, out of state again now. Forget it. forget it. She saw the form on my table. So what's all this about? I explained to her. Without my knowledge, she applied. She used the form and she applied. And she got it. And she was transferred to Kedah. And I became the headmaster. You know, Himik Khan. Sekolah Menengah Habib Khan. I learned it. So from freedom to flight freedom to pulling. Oh, yes, I forgot to tell you about pulling cables. I told you earlier that to be the East Coast, you need to be there for about 7 years. And many people were surprised for 1.5 years, I was able to come back to Penang. So they said, you must have been pulling cables, huh? Pulling cables a lot, huh? I said, yes, I pulled a lot of cables from up there. That's why I got my transfer back. All right. So I went to Penang Free School. And then after that, the land of the floods, island of the floods, Island Grace. Sekolah Menengah Habib Khan was famous for flooding. Flooding, always flooding. So I was there. Now, the Lord had purpose in sending me there. Why? Because when I was headmaster, the wife of the principal of the Matap Perguruan Sri Pinang was on my staff. And one day she told me, my husband is searching for an audiovisual education officer, a lecturer, and you are qualified. Would you like to apply? I said, no. I apply, I get sent out of Penang, or get it. No. My husband said, he will make sure you stay in Penang. You make sure? Sure. Okay. All right. I agree. And that's how I came to be in Matap Perguruan Sri Pinang. Now, that's going to achieve me. You remember this, that I was just trained to be a primary school teacher. I did not have qualifications, no bachelor, no master, nothing at all. And yet, I have been promoted step by step to be senior teacher in preschool, to be a headmaster, and now to be a lecturer in a teacher's college. Can you believe that? I have taught from standard 1, standard 2, standard 3, standard 4, standard 5, standard 6, from 1, from 2, from 3, from 4. Well, being administrator as a headmaster and to be a lecturer in teacher's college. How could a person like me, with such a qualification, go to that extent? With God, everything is possible. If you're prepared to surrender your life to the Lord. I did, and the Lord did what he wanted with me. He may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And I'd like you to know, please, that in the way he dealt with me, he dealt with me for 12 years, 12 years, 12 years. I was 12 years, 53, 12 years, 54 to 66, green, a green-colored slot. 1954 to 1966, I was in a primary school. 12 years from 1966 to 1967, I was in training. 1968 to 1980, I was in a secondary school. And then from 1981 to 1982, until I retired, I was in the lecturing in the teacher's school. 12 years. Why? I'll tell you later on. Okay? Now, my contributions and my role in the work of God. Now, God called me to be a professional as a teacher. Actually, by right, every one of us should know. Whatever you are, as a clerk, as an accountant, as a lecturer, as a teacher, as a doctor, as a nurse, whatever you are, please don't treat your job as separate from God's will. What God wants you to be. If God wants you to be what he wants you to be, to do what he wants you to do, then treat whatever profession you are in to be part and parcel of doing God's will. So that while you are there, you will know that it is indeed God's will for you to be there, to use whatever you know, to do whatever you can do for his work. His work is never separated from your professional work. Your professional work is part of God's work, God's will for your life. You believe that? That's how it has turned out to me. Me. All right. Let me tell you how I contributed to the Lord's work in my profession. I don't know whether I have time to go on to touch on my commendation. But let's see. We've got 10 minutes more. So from now onwards, I'm appealing, especially to those out in the 40s and above, and see what you can do for the Lord. If don't tell me, please, that no, you're different. No one is different. God treats everybody the same. If God can do with me what I'm prepared for Him to do, He can do with you. What was I when I was a professional? I very quickly, just to show you, I got involved in the Sunday school 1953 when I was teaching. And you know where I was teaching? Chinese Sunday school. Teaching Hokkien in Chinese Sunday school. That's how I started my Sunday school service. 1953. That's my Sunday school class in the Chinese Sunday school. Teaching Hokkien, and I did not know how to speak Hokkien well. So the children laughed at me and I wanted to pronounce all the words in Hokkien. I had to prepare one whole week, every week, using the Romanized Bible, using the English Bible, reading from the Romanized Bible, translating into from English, and then learning how to pronounce it, asking some Sunday school, some Chinese assembly believers how to say these words, Abraham, or Abraham, and so on. So, I had a hard time, but that was a challenge. First experience in school teaching. Are you afraid to go on first experience? Trust the Lord. The Lord will help you. My first Bible camp. By the way, for all of you who do not know who attend Bible camps, this was one of the first Bible camps that started and continued for today's Bible camp today. That's the first. And Malaysian Bible camp. Well, big camp, 3 bungalows, Aloha, Sentosa, and another one in Batu Frenggi. So you see, from the very beginning, I came into the right company, right fellowship. And make sure you are always in the right company at the beginning, because it's then that your Christian life will grow. I went to Sunday school. I told you I was in training. I'm training. I was already there teaching the Sunday school in Butterworth. That's Butterworth Hospital Hall Sunday school. And there was Mr. Chang Hong Leong, the superintendent. And I was on the left-hand corner there as a Sunday school teacher. But later on, when Chang Hong Leong, who was my colleague in normal class, left to England for art course, I became the superintendent. I became the superintendent, and here you are, you see me seated at the very center. That's Butterworth Sunday School, and later on, it became the Butterworth Hospital Hall. That was 1958 or so. So see how the Lord blessed. I was just a young boy, and I was already involved in pioneering work. I'm wondering, how many of you have this initiative on your own to go out to start new work for the Lord? At my Bible class in the Sunday school. My Bible class was a Sunday school teacher training class, so that I taught class in the Sunday school how to be Sunday school teachers, so that when any teachers left, they will always be ready to stand in. As my Bible class, everywhere I went, I would start Bible class. And Butterworth was one of them, where I had my Bible class. And these are people who were with me then, with the Chinese group, and also Paul. Let me summarize. From that young age, I was involved in Sunday school ministry. I started in Chinese Sunday school, and I developed and I wrote Sunday school. But today, you have Island Gate Cultural Center. I went to Butterworth Sunday School, started Butterworth Sunday School with Hong Leong, and today, we have Butterworth Gospel Hall. Everywhere I went, I had Bible classes. First, in the homes, that's how I started. Study the Bible in detail with a few boys. And then from there, I went from home to home. Among us, we studied the Bible. After we have studied the Bible, mastered enough, I started Bible classes. And 51 Service Road was one, where we all came together to study the Bible and then to practice what the Bible teaches. And after that, I got a Bible class in Bible Gospel Hall. Then after that, I started another adult Bible class in Bumble Road. And then Battle Bible class. Battle Bible class would be the class at home. For a few years, I had good, promising students studying in detail the Bible with me, teaching them, guiding them, teaching them. And today, many of them are leaders in the various families from Battle Bible class. BBC. Then after that, Tsunani Bong heard of what I did, they invited me to start another assembly Bible. Not only for them, but for the assemblies in Nang. Fortunately, many assemblies did not take part. Then witness groups. I told you that when I saved, I was involved in the witness prayer group. Witness group. Penang Free School had a witness group in Mr. Tan Wah Kim's house. He opened the house. So during the break, half an hour break, 15 minutes, we have our break quickly, and the next 15 minutes, we would go to Mr. Tan Wah Kim's house to have a prayer meeting. We would read from Daily Light, and we would have prayer together. Now, Daily Light is one devotional which I still use, my wife and I still use. It is a collection of Bible texts put together to form a message. No man's words, no human thoughts, but only God's words. All the texts put together. You can find that in the internet daily. It is very good. My wife and I have been using that every Sunday, all our years together. Today, this morning also, we were reading it. Witness group in PFS. All right, I've got to tell you something about that. Now, so that group was not recognized by the authorities, and we were always persecuted by the teachers because if we come in late to the class, then we would be punished. So every time we had to run to the prayer meeting. Now, that group was unofficial. Later on, my role now, how it became official. I told you I was transferred to Penang Free School. One day, while I was teaching in the class, an announcement came from the headmaster. Mr. Ang, please come to the office now. What have I done? What have I done wrong that he wants me now to go to the office? So I went, sir, yes. Now I've been watching you. You are so special. Other teachers I've got to watch and supervise what they do and so on. But you, I can leave alone. You do your work. So well, you don't need my supervision. Why is it? I said, sir, please, you don't have to supervise me. I have got a higher supervisor up there. He supervises me. And I dare not do anything that is against him. And therefore, I dare not do anything that is against school regulation. I'm a Christian. Oh, my wife would like to speak to you to speak to her too. Yes, sir. If I have the time, I'll do it anytime. And he said, what can I do for you? Sir, there's a witness group in Penang Free School, which was there from the time I was a student. And it's not recognized. It's not in the school magazine. Can you recognize it? No problem. No problem. I'll announce it on Friday. And Friday at the assembly, they announced it. They announced it that this Christian witness group is now official and will now appear in the school magazine. The old starch was furious when he heard that. Later on, after the assembly, I was told, he went to the teacher's room, bing, bang, 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 the swinging doors of the common room. And at the end of the school, He met me on the corridor. Stan, I challenge you to a debate. If you can prove yourself that Christianity is true, I become a Christian. Otherwise, you become a Muslim. If I can win the debate. So and so, you speak Malay. You don't speak English. I speak English. I don't speak Malay. I cannot converse with you. And so, since that time, the SDTI Witness Group is now an official. Yes, I went to the Teachers College, SDTI. The first thing I did was I went to find out if there was a witness group there. If not, I would start. No. So I went to see training the teachers there. I went to see the lecturers there, SDTI, and also the next, the neighboring college, TQC, TTTC, Teachers Training Technical College, the Technical Teachers Training College. And I brought them together. I said, let us have what the Christians have. Let us have a winner's group. And since that day, now we have the SDTI, TQC, Christian Winner's Group. When I went to Teachers College, Pataperguruan Sri Pinang, the first thing I asked was, is there a winner's Christian group here? The principal said, yes, there is. In that case, I like to join in and I like to develop it. Okay, no problem. And so you see my role in the teachers, in the winners group. Wherever you go, something, the winners, or are you just ready, just happy to just flow with the tide? Go on. It's your profession for the Lord. You may profess faithfully the name of the Lord. In my training as a teacher, I used that knowledge to start to train Sunday school teachers. I held a number of Sunday school courses for Sunday school teachers. Micro teaching skills. I was a specialist in micro teaching. What is micro teaching? It is taking out small aspects of the teaching process and then teaching that part. How to give an introduction, how to give a conclusion, how to use teaching aids. So, these are micro-teaching skills. You need that knowledge to teach Sunday school teachers how to be better Sunday school teachers. I introduced audiovisual education. I had many education, I had number of classes, audiovisual aids for Sunday school teachers. I introduced to all the assemblies in Penang the use of the overhead projector that like OHP. First time they were using the OHP and they found so useful. I was even invited by Kuantan Gospel Chapel to organize a course on the OHP. And then I used all the knowledge I had for training courses for the youth fellowship. Now I must go on and I'm finished. Then that was the concern for the assembly work. I was very concerned that people in the assemblies are growing up without knowledge of our assemblies. So I discussed with Mr. Tan Wah Kim formation of the Residential Bible School, RBS. 5 years we had that. 2 months course, training and learning at the same time. We had the best Bible teachers from England, Australia, Scotland, and so on. We invited them over. It cost us a lot of money. Assembly in Barbara Hall had to spend 10,000 ringgit per term for this course. After 5 years, it's only for leaders. The leaders have all been trained and we do not have any. So we decided to stop. So after 5 years, the RBS then is not the same as the RBS now. It's completely different. So don't mistake the RBS now as the same. Our RBS 2 month course, they study, they had to perform assignments, a lot of assignments. They had to study all the deep truths in the Bible. And some of them had to stay until midnight to finish their homework. At the end, they had got certificates, 2 certificates, one for marriage and the one for attending. Those who did not make it. And then after the idea stopped, we missed a deep, solid training of the Bible. So there was a cry for it, and Law Australia came into help. And I was among the committee that formed the GLOW training school. See today. Today, law is a follow up of the RBS. Almost the same format. But it's different from the RBS that you know now. And I was concerned with all the sisters. So many good sisters. Look at the assemblies. So many sisters. So good, so keen for the Lord. But most of them are single. They're not even married. I do not know why the brothers refuse to have anything to do with the sisters here. Hey, brothers, I don't know. What's wrong with the sisters here? They're so good. And yet you go and choose the sisters from outside, from other churches. And then, so I was very concerned. I started that training at assembly Bible camp, fellowship camp. First of Penang. And later on, assemblies in Malaysia heard about it and we came together and we have a central assembly fellowship. Today, it is still running. Today, it's still running. Then we have the Penang Assemblies Partnership. Some of the elders, deacons know this. PAP. I was very concerned that the Penang Assemblies, they do not have any unity. Each is own. And the younger ones will find difficult to cope with. And so I brought the elders together. And then they formed Penang Assembly Partnership, PAP. And it's still existing today. Finally, I was also involved in interdi work. Don't think that I'm just confined to assembly work. I was involved in SU groups, between union groups. I was involved in MEF, NEN chapter. MEF stands for Malaysian Evangelistic Fellowship, started by GDJ. And I had to organize a gospel evangelist campaign for 1 week for the whole of Penang Island, where I visited all the churches in Penang and brought them together at Packet Methodist, a Packet school, and then we had a big campaign going on. All of Penang, the gospel for Penang. Now, all this I did when I was in my 30s, my 20s to 40s. What about the 20s to 40s in the assembly? If I ask you, what have you done for the Lord? What have you achieved for the Lord? Now, I have no time. I've got to stop here. I've got a lot more to say. But this is my challenge. Be thou an example in your youth for the Lord. Oh, may the Lord bless you. I was a nobody. I was not an elder even then. I was not a deacon even then. I was just an ordinary Christian as one of you. But I had the courage to speak to the elders. I had the courage to write in to the elders. And the Lord bless you. Why? Because I had vision. I had this commission from the Lord to do it, and the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you all. I'm sorry I got stopped here. I cannot carry on, but I hope that with what I've said, I may have challenged you to better service the Lord where you are. Please don't wait until you're old. You see, I'm at the age, I'm 85 now. I'm feeling very tired. Much as I like to do, I like to be the Caleb. Give me the new mountain. I want to go up the high mountain at 85. Now I feel physically weak. You see my voice, I'm losing it. That's because of my ailment. Every time I come under aircon room, I lose my voice. But the Lord has enabled me to at least finish my message. So may I, once again, appeal to all those who are professional. Use your profession a lot less.